I count on one thing. The same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God that's never late, He's working all things out. He's working all things out. Oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy. Same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God that's never late, He's working all things out. He's working all things out. Oh yes, I will lift you high. You high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy.
Lord, please stand today.
Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner. You lead us by still waters and to mercy, and nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people, remember your promise. Your grace is enough. your children. Remember your promise, oh God.
Sunset. him like you mean him.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am.
There you go.
And you're for me, not against me. I am who you say I am.
Tell Satan.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am.
What?
You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am.
Praise you that no matter we aren't who somebody else says we aren't who Satan says we aren't even who that voice in our head says we are who you say we are. And we give you praise for that. In Jesus' mighty name, we are a child of God. And Lord, we just love you and just are excited about what you have for us the rest of the day. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. All right, our kids can head to our Haven Kids, and somebody around you say, I am who he says I am.
Well, that was pretty good. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. We're on fire. I don't know about you all, but I am full of Jesus today. You should stand up here. Everybody's going to get a turn, okay? Because you're up here looking out there. This place is packed. There's no seats left. You know what that means? Bigger church? Well, we'll send some of you home. No. It's just exciting. And I saw a lot of faces I haven't seen forever. I don't know where they went, but they're here. And I'm just excited to see them visit and come to our church and be a part. It's just exciting. And I'm going to read from Bill Wiggum. Because I was told if I did not read verbatim, I will be replaced. I don't know. He was pretty serious when he said it. Bill Wiggum, praises for the Elkton Community Kitchen. We were able to turn out 67 meals, also fed a foster family and the men's shelter. Thanks to all who participated and served. It was a great day of fellowship. And I can tell you, my husband made the Sloppy Joes, so they were good. And he made a lot. I've never seen so many Sloppy Joes. We probably could have filled the town of Elkton. But anyway, all good. And I want to say, there's two new families that were there. Hugs to you. I was so excited to see you and your children participating and being a part of Haven. I am so excited, Will, and your family. And you know I can't remember names, so you and your family. So it's all good. And I do have to announce one thing. I go back for my cancer follow-up tomorrow, 4 years. I will be cancer-free, and I will get to go off the medicine that makes me forget things. Yay! I'm so excited. I'm not sure my husband is excited, but I am. Lisa Bailey has asked us to pray for those who are sick. And also those with mental illness. That's a big thing right now. We really want to reach out to people. The holidays are coming, and this is a time when a lot of people will fall into the gloom and doom because they don't have Thanksgiving families. They do not have holiday families. So remember them. Keep them in your prayers. Jim, safe travels for Jill. She will be traveling in Germany. And I think all of us know, without me saying, anybody who's traveling abroad right now, be careful, and God stay with her. Karina, I just have to shout out to you, girlfriend, because I just realized this woman has been a part of our this singing team here, praise team. And today, when she came in, I realized she has filled that whole front row. So she beat me. She filled the front row and part of the second row. I mean, this girl's got it going. And she walked at least 6 kids into the little guys. So you know what? We are going to have to get a bigger church. That's all there is to it. Yay! Sorry, I did take my vitamins this morning. I will read. Tammy Morris, we're going to continue to pray for your dad, Sam. He has been placed on hospice, so we really want to keep Tammy in our thoughts and prayers. Lisa Osborne, lift up David Cox's family. He did pass away. He had a 2-month battle with a real serious illness. Ruth's sister Debbie, going to have her surgery. So we're going to pray for her procedure and hope it goes well. Mark, stand up. It's the last time you can stand up in church. Ha! Sorry, you didn't see that coming. Mark's having knee surgery Tuesday. Go fix him up. And Bob told me today he's got his shoes on and he's kicking butt, so I hope that's good news. And Willard, we're going to continue to pray for Lois and her sisters, and I don't know where he went. He's gone again. Patty hugged me. She's having some surgery. She's a little worried, so we're going to keep her in our prayers. Okay? Okay, that's the end of that page. And we had one family request through our prayer chain, Seth Sulby. Sully. I do have my glasses. Pray for them and their housing situation. They're in kind of a situation that's bad, and we want to pray that they can work that out. I have to tell you, when I read the bulletin on our website, and then I look at all these announcements up here, holy moly, if you're not involved in something, get involved, because there are groups, there are fun things going on. This church is just blowing up. It's all good, okay? Now, y'all know what I say. We put our hands on our knee to pray. If you don't put them on your knee, put them on your head. I don't care where you put them. Give them to God. We are going to pray. I want to lift all those people that we've lifted in prayer. All of those that are having surgery, be with the surgeons this week. And Mr. Bob Shrub, we want you to get better too, because I know you've been under the weather. And I did have a note and I skipped it. I miss one every week. I'm bad. But after next week, I'll get them. But Jesus, pray with us. Guide us. Lead us. Bring us to heaven. That's our end game. Show us the way. Let us love one another, because that's what it's all about. We have got infants to 100 in this church, and we are more than blessed. Let us reach out this week and pay it forward and hand to someone, just one person, your love that you've given to us, so that one more person knows that God loves them. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen.
We've all been there. Yearning for change, trying to change our ways, but stuck in our old familiar patterns. It is in those moments that we recognize the limits of our own potential and our undeniable need for God's grace and power. So often, we tend to falter, knowing that real and lasting change is simply not upon us. The heart, like the spots of a leopard, can be so deeply ingrained with patterns and tendencies that we realize we can't change ourselves. Change is not just a wish. It's about surrendering ourselves to the one who can rewrite our lives. And it is through God's grace and power where we can indeed change our spots.
Howdy. All right. So good stuff. I do want to touch on a couple things. Today on, right after church today, it was neat to hear how people are connecting and doing that. But if you want to get connected and don't know where to, we have Haven 301 right after church. It's not long. I have a real brief, like 5 to 7 minute presentation. And then right after that, we just have leaders that are leaders of ministries around the church. They give you an example to say, hey, where do I want to connect and what are some things that I want to be part of? So just stay right after, and we'll have that right after here. Also, as Joanna was talking about with mental health and other issues, that it is the holidays, and we all know, I tell you guys, are really enjoyed that extra hour of sleep last night, correct? Right? Because particularly on that last song, you were singing really good. But one of the things is this time of year, it gets darker and all that kind of stuff, and people have seasonal affective disorder, which also just brings depression in general. And then you get to the holidays where people experience loss and grief. And so one of the things is we do have Surviving the Holidays. I saw that up there. Is that the 16th? Was that there somewhere in there? 19th. I put it upside down. But the 19th, and that is put on by as part of a grief share for Surviving the Holidays. Love for you to connect to that as well, all right? And there's plenty of other stuff coming up. You can see the boxes disappeared. And did we get a final total? Did we know 300 and some? So that's awesome. Good stuff. So real kind of good things. Everybody good?
Yep.
I'll be good about 7 o'clock when the Eagles beat the Cowboys. But anyway, so please, Jesus. All right. Otherwise, I can't watch TV all week. Okay, anyway. So we are in week 2 of our series, Changing Spots. And it's based off of the whole thing about an idea, a leopard can't change his spots. Everybody's heard that? That is a just a statement that just means that you can't change. But we find things differently about that. And many of us have tried to change things. We tried to change eating habits. We may have tried to change our the way we respond to things. And so I'm going to start today. I was wondering some questions, because today we're going to talk about no more negative Nellies. Everybody say no more negative Nellies. There we go. So I was thinking, I wonder how many of you have ever stopped to ask yourself this question. Why do you do what you do? Anybody ever ask yourself that question? Why do I do what I do? Why do I do that? Okay? And chances are, in similar situations, you often respond the same way. So why is it that you generally respond in that way? And so I'm going to give you three common scenarios and ask you. There are three common ones. I'm going to ask you to, the third one I'm not going to really ask you to respond, because it's a little too personal in some areas. But the first two I want to ask you. One is going to be, what do you do in the morning? The other one is, what do you do at a restaurant? And the other one is, what do you do with your money? So let's start with the morning. The first thing, how many of you in the morning, you're the type of person that the alarm goes off and you hit snooze? Raise your hand. Anybody do that? Okay. How many have like three or four alarms set because you know you're going to hit snooze? That's me. You must always hit snooze. If you're watching a part of church online, put "I hit snooze" in the chat. So like your alarm goes off and you hit snooze. How many of you are the one, your alarm goes off, you jump right out of bed, or you may even jump out of bed before the alarm goes off, and you are ready to start your day, and you're the first person at the meeting, and you drive everybody else insane because you're that person. Anybody else? There you go. I see you guys, all right? So we have this. Okay, so why? You ever wonder why you do that? You ever wonder why? Well, what about the second one? At a restaurant, when you go to a restaurant, there's a healthy choice, and there's a better tasting choice. How many of you go to the healthy choice almost all the time? Like, you're almost always go to the healthy choice. Like, you go and you choose chicken. Who chooses chicken? All right, you go to that, okay? And then how many of you choose the better tasting option? Chicken, fried chicken, right? You know, deep fried. How many do that? Anybody? All right. Or Chick-fil-A. Sorry, it's Sunday. I made you upset. All right. And you may have some gravy and mashed potatoes with that, and follow it all up with some ice cream and chocolate cake. Anybody do that? How many of you sit around and eat a rice cake? God help you, all right? Anyway, so if I have rice cakes in heaven, I'm going to be really ticked off. You know what I mean? So you ever wonder why you choose that? Why do you choose that? All right? Several different reasons. So when it comes to finances, again, I don't want you to raise your hand on this one. How many of you always put God first? You're a steward, you're a tither, you manage wisely what God's given you, and you've seen the faithfulness of God over and over again, and you almost have, no matter how much you make, you almost always have something left over because God makes it happen. Or how many of you, like so many others in the world, you spend almost every single dime that you have every month, and you spend maybe even more than what you do have. And did you ever stop to think about, why am I that way? Why do I do what I do when it comes to those areas? So those are just three areas of our lives that we want to share. And again, why do we, when you stop and think, why do I do what I do? There are several reasons, and there's some secondary reasons that we're going to address, and I'm going to give you a couple of them that are very real, and then I'm going to give you the primary reason why we do what we do, and we're going to spend some time in that. So let's start with the secondary reasons. The secondary reasons, there's three of them that I want to share. The first reason that you do what you do is you feel obligated to do it. Okay, you feel an obligation. You want to be a good mom, or you want to be a good dad, or a good friend, or a good worker, or you just feel obligated to obey God, or to listen to your parents, or you just feel obligated to go ahead and do that. So you say, okay, I've got to do it. That's my obligation. I signed up for it, so I'm going to follow through with it. So that's why you do what you do. The second thing is you actually want to do what you do. So for instance, you may be in an area, we'll put it in church area, you want to please God. You want to be disciplined. You want to show love. You want to make a wiser or better choice, and you do it because you really want to do it. And the third one is this: you do it because you want to be liked or you want to be accepted. So that's why people work so hard on filters and doctored up photos, so they look absolutely perfect, so they can get the lighting right and all blemishes off, so they can like pose and say, look, I want you to think about this. You ever look at some selfies and you think, okay, like they're really quickly, but then you look and it's like 10 feet away where they're taking the picture? Think about it. They aren't taking the picture. You guys are in shock right now. That's posed. That's posed. That's not like a snapshot. We do that. We kind of put it together and say, oh, look at me. It's just a hard day at work. And you're like looking gorgeous and nice glow. You know, that is set up. We do that. Why? Because we want to be liked. We want people to accept us. And so we spend time with that. And we spend time with getting in and doing the several things because we want to feel good. We want to feel accepted. We want to be liked. And I could go on and on about a ton of secondary reasons, but there is one primary major reason why we behave consistently the way we behave, and that's simply this. The biggest reason why we do what we do is you do what you do because of what you think about you. I'm going to say that again. You do what you do because of what you think about you. All right? And that's why I put it up there, because you guys are like, what? All right. The biggest driving force in our behavior is our identity. And so we do what we do primarily because of how we think about ourselves. And Proverbs 23 has this great verse up here, and it says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As you think about yourself, that's who you are. Other people can tell you several other things, but what you really believe about yourself really shapes what you do and why you do it because of how you feel that way. Our identity is what we're talking about. How we see ourselves drives our behavior. And in this series, what we're doing, we're looking in God's Word about how we can change and how we can apply our these habits to our life and see. We're going to also see how science confirms what God's Word says, because God invented them both anyway. And if we apply these truths, it can be very transforming to our lives. There's a study that was done regarding giving us the power to change. And they said that there's three questions that when you face any kind of situation, even without consciously knowing, you subconsciously go through these three questions. And you end up determining what you do based off of these. And I've got these in your worship guide and bulletin today. So what is the first one? The first thing is, what type of person am I? That's the first thing we ask. And we ask it so quickly, we don't know we ask it. What type of person am I? All right? So you can say, whatever situation, we categorize ourselves. Okay, I'm a believer. I don't take shortcuts. I'm disciplined. I work hard for things. I don't steal. I'm not this. I'm not those kind of things. Like you see a Tesla out there and you say, that's a nice car. You don't just jump in and take off in it. Why? Because you're somebody who's not a thief. Now, if you're a thief, good luck on that ride, right? You know what I mean? So we do those things by who we associate ourselves, and we say, who am I? What type of person am I? The second thing that we deal with is, what kind of situation is this? And we don't even realize that we're going through these things. It's a split second in our mind. But what kind of person am I, and what kind of situation is this? Like, for instance, if you see something going on, like you see an accident, are you the person, like an accident happens in front of you, are you the person that stops and gets out and helps? Or are you the person that says, I'm not getting involved, right? That's who you are, that's who your skills are, and the situation. And then the third thing is, what does someone like me do in a situation like this? And that determines over and over and over and over again, what person am I, what kind of situation is this, and what does someone like me do in a situation like this? So you'll find yourself in a number of different scenarios. For instance, if you're a student, you're taking a test, and you're stressed out, and you don't know the answer, and you can see your buddy's answer, like you can see his test over there. And so do you do one of these things and go, you're tempted to cheat. And so you say, what type of person am I? All right? I'm going to confess right now, I think my elementary and up graduation is more everybody else's than my own, because I cheated a lot, you know what I mean? So that's confession, and don't act like you're holy, all right? But you may be tempted to take something that's not yours. You may see something and say, I really like that. I always love when I'd be missing some clothes, and Jacob would walk upstairs with them, and I'm like, that's my shirt. It's in my stuff. I'm like, it ain't yours. That's my stuff. One day he came up and he had a shirt on that looked very much like mine with the sleeves cut out. And I'm like, that looks like my shirt. Oh, it was in my stuff. I said, yeah, you're going to be in my stuff. You know what I mean? So, but that's happened. You take some things. Or you may be tempted to make somebody look bad by gossiping about them. You may be tempted to be generous. It works the other way, too. You may be tempted to be generous and give to someone to be a blessing. Someone may have hurt you, and you actually choose to forgive them. So, maybe someone does something that doesn't seem right, and you choose to believe the best about them, or you go just the opposite and say, I'm going to take you out, whatever it may be. Why do you do what you do? You do what you do because of who you think you are. What kind of person am I? What kind of situation is this? And what kind of person, what does a person like me do in a situation like this? So, here we go. In the morning, the alarm goes off. What kind of person are you? I'm the kind of person that hits the alarm 8 times. That's the kind of person I am. And if he does it tomorrow, I'm going to do the same thing. Or you're the type of person that gets up and out the door and you're gone. Or you're driving down the road and somebody cuts you off. What type of person are you? Oh, I know who type of people you are. All right? You're the same type of people as me, right? Somebody cut me off the weekend. I was chasing them. I was like, I'm going to get you, sucker, you know? I was like, I felt like I was like Richard Petty and going to spin him out. I was living it out in my head. But anyway, so you have that, and you either run them down, and you may give them the best sign language, telling them Jesus is the one way, and, you know, get it, all right. And you may be pointing to them and tell them some other kind of thing, all for the gospel, I don't know. Or you're the type of person that's like, hey, you know what, no big deal, I'm still good. I cut off somebody yesterday, and I just, it's all good. I got to talk to you. I'm not that person either. So, but, you know, you may say, maybe they're in a hurry. Maybe there's an emergency. I don't know. Maybe they're having a baby. I don't know. Maybe something's wrong. They got emergency news. That's not where I go. I'm just telling you. But someone brings donuts in the office or at work, right? What kind of person are you? Are you the kind of person that tackles everybody to get those Boston cream filled ones to yourself right away? You know, are you that type of person? Or are you the type of person who likes donuts, but you brought carrot sticks and you already ate them and you're not going to go ahead and have that? Or you're like me, you're like the person who when you're trying to be good, you cut one in half and you eat half of it. And then you come back 15 minutes later and eat the other half. Like, you convince yourself, like, that gap between the 15 minutes really, you know, helped you. You burned off some calories walking back and forth. I don't know. But anyway, you know, whoever has that theology, that's real good theology. I like it. But anyway, bottom line is, in every area of your life, no matter what it is, you tend to do what you do because of who you think you are. Like, what kind of person am I? What kind of situation is this? And what does a person like me do in a situation like this? In every situation, we deal with that. We do what we do because of what we think of ourselves. How come I can't change? How come I still lose my temper? How come I still do things I don't want to do? Or how come I still find myself going back to the same old habits again and again and again? Now, I don't want you to miss this. You do what you do because of what you think you are. And in 1 Corinthians, which is printed in your bulletin, we just sang a song. I am who he says I am. But yet we tell ourselves who we think we are. And that's in competition always with what God says. Because here's what God says about you. But you are not like that. For you have been chosen by God. Remember saying, I am chosen, not forsaken. We all sang it. And it says, you are a priest of the king. How many of you think you're a priest? You're a preacher. How many's a preacher? Come on down. Right? You're a priest of the king. You're holy and pure. How many think you're holy and pure? All right. You're God's very own. God cherishes you. All this is so that you may show others how God called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you are less than nothing, look at the person next to you and say, you are less than nothing. All right. Once you knew very little, look at the other choice and say, once you knew very little. Oh, you guys don't want to do that. All right. There knew very little of God's kindness. Now your lives have been changed by it. You see, what we're told there is that our lives are changed by knowing who we are in Christ.
If we always hold on to what we believe and we do what we do because of who we think we are, and if we think we're anything less than this, we're going to do something that isn't going to be changed, and we're going to end up in the same negative patterns, the same negative habits. So the first thing is we've got to get a good identity in our lives. We've got to figure it out. So if you want to change what you do, change what you think of you. All right? If you want, I'm going to say that again, even though it's up here. If you want to change what you do, change what you think of you. And that's hard because there's been a lot of negativity and a lot of negative Nellies that have been in your head for a long, long time. So you've got to change your identity. Change what you think of you. And I wonder how many of you are like me. How many of you would say that when you think about who you are, it's often easier to think of the negative stuff with you? How many of you like that? Anybody like that? I often think of the negative thing about myself. And why is it that we tend to believe those bad things about ourselves? Why do you think that is the reason why we tend to think more the negative stuff? Like when people say something often that, oh, well, you're this and you're that, and it's good, I'm like, you don't know me. I know me, right? And why do we do that? It's because the devil is a liar. And the devil has been lying to you since the day that you were born. Amen. And so if you look at this in John chapter 8, here's what it says. Jesus says, the devil has always hated the truth. What has he hated? The truth. Because there is what? No truth in him. And when he lies, it's consistent with his character. Why? Because who is he? He is a liar. He is a liar. Why does Satan do what he does? Because his identity is that he is a liar. Jesus is telling us Satan's identity, and if you are who God says you are, that's who you are. Satan is a liar. Satan is a liar. Now watch what Jesus says next. He is a liar and the father of lies, so when Jesus says, when I tell the truth, you naturally don't believe me. We don't believe we're pure and holy, right? We don't believe that. You know why? Because Satan's been telling us you're not. And we believe the lies of the enemy. Because Satan is a superb, he is the best liar. He twists the truth. He doesn't only just tell you false, he twists the truth of God. That's what worked in the Garden of Eden. He told Adam, surely you won't die. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. That is not a lie. You will know like God, good and evil. Because before that, Adam and Eve only knew good. They got what they asked for, and now we have this mess, all right? So Satan twists the truth. We've been believing the lies so long that it has formed our identity, and that we sing and we talk about, I am who he says I am, but really, we are who we say we are because we've been lied to by Satan for so long. Jesus is trying to tell us who you are. You're chosen. You're not forsaken. You're holy. You're pure. And we're saying, We've been pre-programmed to believe the lie and to not believe truth. But remember, we sang again, who the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. The truth sets you free. We have to buy in and trust Jesus in the truth. So you're so used to hearing it, you can't change. You're not that. You think, you've heard, you'll always be a failure. You're a mistake. You're not a real man or woman of God. You're not a good mom or a good dad. You're never going to be financially free. You'll never overcome that debt. You're always going to be addicted. You're always going to be stuck. You're always going to be nasty. You're always going to be alone. You're always going to be useless. And it is easier for us to believe the lies, and I know because I do it a lot. I believed in my life that I'm not good enough in certain areas, that when I went to college, I just believed that I wasn't going to be a good student when I hit a certain area. I'm just not a good student. That's just the way I am. That's just who I am. I'm not as good as Jill was. I'm not as good as Mom and Dad were in school. That's not who I am. And I just bought into it. And that's why I got a 1.6 and a 1.9. And there was also a lot of other stuff that contributed to that. Jack Cohen, The Lost Years, all right? But anyway, those things, part of it, the main thing was I believed it. I believed it, and I said, no, I don't, I'm not good at math. I'm not good at science. I'm not good at this. Oh, I am okay at this, but I'm not good at that. And when you believe you're not good at something, when you believe that that's who you are, you will never change it. You'll buy into it, and Satan's not going to help you out of it. And you're going to keep on going and keep on going and keep on going and keep on going. Some of you may believe things like when you have kids, like anybody who has children. You remember when that first kid came along and you're like, what am I supposed to do with this? Like, and your first thought is, oh my gosh, am I going to be a good parent? And then you go through life and then they get hurt and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm not a good parent. And then they become teenagers and you say, I'm going to kill them. I'm not a good parent, right? Anybody with me? And so you struggle with that, and you're constantly asking your question. And so if you're thinking you're not a good parent, you may have had somebody years ago say, you're not going to be a good parent. And and that's stuck in your head. And Satan tells you every day, you see, you're not really a good parent. Or your child makes a decision, and something happens, and then you start to associate to yourself. And you start to say, wow, I'm really not. And you start believing the lies. It could be, I'm not a good enough son or daughter. I'm not a good enough friend. You may have people that just leave your life. And you go, wow, it must be me. I must be the bad friend. I must be the person. If everybody's leaving, and it's not everybody, but you start to believe, wow, you didn't do enough for them. That's something I struggled with for years. And in the environment of the church, when people sometimes come and see people sometimes go, you start to say, man, maybe I'm not a good enough pastor. Maybe I'm not a good enough servant of God. Maybe the church would be better off without me. And you start to believe those lies. And time again, and you have your own. Because at times when we do something in life that we're not proud of, Satan's right there and he's not telling you, hey, this is just a momentary failing. You know, God is still really with you and you're going to be all right. You still got the Holy Spirit. No, he tells you, he doesn't tell you you did something wrong. He tells you you are bad. You are something wrong. And that's something that happens. Guess what? We're told that you're going to do something wrong. It's called all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But the difference is that if we do something that is bad, it doesn't make us bad. You are not what you do. Because as I read, I'm chosen, I'm not forsaken, I'm God's own, I'm a child of God, and I'm holy and pure. Now, if you live with me this week, you'd see none of that matches up, but it's only through God that I am. Okay, you with me? All right, so that's what we need to do. We need to not believe the lies. So when Satan tells us, he doesn't say, oh, you did a bad thing. He says, you're not worthy. You should be ashamed. You're pathetic. You're not the real, genuine thing. You're a hypocrite. You're an addict. You're a loser. You're a failure. You're a terrible parent, spouse, child, etc. You're never going to change. And you know why? Because that's the way you are. And we buy into it. Am I right? We buy into those lies time and time again. What's he trying to do? He's lying about you and about your identity. And here's what happens. And you can write this down if you're taking notes. Your distorted identity starts to sabotage your success. Your spiritual success and your progress along the way. When you start to think, well, you know, you start to say, well, why am I struggling with this? Because, well, I've got an addictive personality. And this is how I cope. And it's just what I do. And it's just how I have to do it. It's just who I am. What you've done, if you bought into everything there and you just said, I have an addictive personality, that's who I am, nothing's changing. And so you're caught. You're caught in that lie. Your success in overcoming that is gone. You say, okay, my addictive personality makes me an addict, so I'm filling it with something. Or you just say, I stink at handling money. I'm just really bad with money. So I'm going to struggle financially. I'm never going to get ahead. I'm always going to be broke. I'm going to get on Amazon and click, 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 buy, 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 click, 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 buy, 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 deliver, deliver. And I'm going to say, oh, my gosh. Or you say, I never really had close friends, so I just don't, there's nobody I can really trust. So you continually put that false front on, and you may scroll and double click and scroll and double click and put on a face and smile and put a click on there. But you never really let anybody in. And you're going through life on your own. Satan uses a very deceptive cycle. And here's what he does. He takes he helps lie to you to create a distorted identity. And he takes your distorted identity and uses it to create destructive habits. Then, when you're in the destructive habits, he uses the destructive habits to reinforce your distorted identity. Okay? So you go ahead and you go ahead and you're doing something. You he tells you, this is who you are, this is who you are, this is who you are. You get into a bad habit, and then you do the bad habit, and he's the first person to say, see, I told you that's who you are. Right? So you can say, hey, guess what? You know, as young as a kid, I just kind of took stuff. And, you know, that's who I am. I'm just a thief. And then you take something, and he says, see, I told you you're a thief. See what I mean? That pattern. Or, hey, I have an addictive personality. That's who I am. I'm an addictive personality. And then you get into some kind of addiction, and he says, see, I told you you're an addict. Because he doesn't want to label us as a child of God. He doesn't want to label us as holy and pure. He uses our distorted identity to get destructive habits, and destructive habits verify our distorted identity. And so the wrong thing confirms. We may call ourselves a follower of Christ, but my habits don't show it, so therefore I'm not. How do you break the devil's destructive cycle? Remember, if you want to change, you have to change how you think about you. So you need to know you are not who the devil says you are. You are not what others say you are, who others say you are. And you're not even what that little critical voice in your own head says you are. You know that one I'm talking about? That one? Jesus is speaking the truth about you, and you need to believe the truth about you. Instead of having a distorted identity, we need to begin to have a Christ-centered identity. And we need to believe what we just sang. I am who he says I am. It may not look like it. That voice in my head may be telling me, yeah, you can keep singing it, but you ain't. Remember this week? And yeah, I get it. But you need to hold on to the truth. And you hold on to the truth. I am who he says I am. I am who he says I am. I am who he says I am. And so what's happened is when you have a Christ-centered identity, that breaks the destructive cycle. And a Christ-centered identity leads to Christ-honoring habits. You with me? So a Christ-centered identity leads to Christ-honoring habits, and Christ-honoring habits reinforce the Christ-centered identity. See how it's different? Our distorted identity based off of Satan's lies lead us to destructive habits. The destructive habits verify, yeah, you are that thing, that person, that disgusting thing, that failure, that whatever. Fill in the blank. But when we say, no matter what's going on here, I am who he says I am, we start to have a Christ-centered view, and we say, okay, I want to live life to please Christ, so then I'm going to have God-honoring habits. And when those God-honoring habits come in, then I'm going to get a Christ-centered identity. He's going to put me in places. I'm going to start to see his life unfold in my life, and that is going to verify that I am who he says I am. Everybody got that? That's really awesome, all right? You do what you do because of what you think of you. If you want real change, you have to change how you think of you. You're not who your spiritual enemy says you are. When you believe that, you live the wrong habits and it reinforces. When you are who Jesus says you are, when you start to believe that, you bring about God-honoring habits and you reinforce who God is, right? So let me explain some of this for some, if we don't get this, because this is really important. So I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to have some fun today, okay? I'm going to take a biblical story. I'm going to put a modern embellishment on it. If you don't like it, you can email me at jackreallydoesn'tcare.com, all right? But we're going to have some fun with this, all right? And so it's a real biblical story with a modernized picture. A lot of it's made up, okay? You with me? Here we go. So let's just say some guy comes up to Jesus and says, hey there, Jesus, I'm a public relations agent, and I'm going to give you an idea. I want you to do a YouTube live event, and we're going to reach millions of people, and it's YouTube live. It's going to be amazing. Hashtag Jesus Live, all right? And Jesus says, nah, nope, that's not what I want. Because I really want to be with the people. I like the gathering of people there. I'm not really into it. So the guy says, okay, hey, how about we do this Sermon on the Mount kind of thing? Well, that's what we'll call it. We'll call it the Sermon on the Mount. She said, I like that. That's pretty cool. So he goes, all right, so that's what we're going to do. And so we're going to publicize it. We're going to promote it. And they sell out faster than Taylor Swift concerts, all right? And it's completely sold out. And Jesus is there. and the event's there. He's teaching, and the Pharisees are there. They're protesting. They have signs, get Jesus canceled. We want a Messiah, not loaves and fish jambalaya or something like that. And then at the end of the event, everybody's there. Security says, Jesus, we got to get you home. And Jesus says, wait. No, I'm going to pray for the people. And so he goes to pray for the people. When he's going to pray for the people, most of them aren't interested in the prayer. They just want selfies with him. Okay, so they take out their phones like this, and it kind of hurt his feelings, right? He's just kind of like, man, I really, really wanted to pray. I really wanted to gather men. So he gets done. He comes back to the disciples. He regroups and says, how do you guys think it went? Peter's kind of in a bad mood because Jesus didn't tag him in the Instagram photo, so he's not in it. And Jesus said, you know what, Jesus said, okay, I'm kind of done with all you guys right now. I got to get away from you. By the way, it didn't really happen. It's not in the Bible. Don't say, where is that? It's not there. It's just modernized. So Jesus goes home, and what does he do? He's physically exhausted. Felt like the people let him down. He feels a little discouraged that they weren't really responding the way he does. So what does he do? Does he start to binge watch his favorite Netflix series, which is probably Chosen, all right, you know? He feels maybe discouraged that they weren't responding. Does he, start, you know, multiplying, I don't know, bonbons or something, I don't know, and eating them? Finishes off all the kosher brownies that are left over, you know, I don't know. Does he fill up a bath with soft music and then decide to turn all the bathwater to wine? I'm not sure, you know. He could have done all those things. So what does he do? He's tired. Remember, he's all God. He's all man. So what does he do? Well, if he asked these questions, what kind of person am I? He would say, I'm the type of person that needs intimacy with my Father. What kind of situation is this? He'd say, well, I'm physically exhausted and emotionally discouraged. And what is a person like you do in a situation like this? I need to go spend time with my Father. And so what does Jesus do? According to Scripture, back to biblical reality, he goes to the Mount of Olives. That's his place. Not just any place. It's a beautiful place, and you can see it right here. This is a 3D visual of what Jesus would have looked like and overlooking the city. Sometimes it would have been green, depending on rain or everything. And this is actually another picture. This next one is like from the 18th century. So you can see this is from the Mount of Olives. This is kind of what Jesus would have been looking at. And they had around here, not too far, you have the Garden of Gethsemane. So there's olive trees and other kind of stuff. And it's a quiet place. And he would go off to that. And here's what Scripture says. He's overlooking the people, like over the whole city's here. And Scripture tells us in Luke chapter 21, it tells us that how often he went there to pray. And look at what it says here. It says, each day, everybody say each day. Each day Jesus was teaching at the temple. And so can you go back to a slide or so? Right there, see the temple? That's the temple in the middle. So he's looking at every day in the daytime, he went there. He was preaching there, okay? And then it says, so every day he was teaching at the temple. And let's go back to the Scripture. And everybody say, each evening? Each evening he went out to spend the night on the hill called the Mount of Olives. What did Jesus do? His habit was to do what in the day? Go to the temple and teach. What was his habit at night? To go to the Mount of Olives and spend time with his dad. You see that? That was his habit. Why? Because of what person he was, because of what situation it was, and what does a person like him do in a situation like this? As we look at Luke chapter 22, it tells us, and Jesus came out and went as what? As was his habit, to the Mount of Olives. He wasn't like, you know, hey, man, that didn't work. Maybe I should have done the YouTube live event. I don't know. He didn't just go say, I guess I better try and pray. I'm going to go try and pray because I'm not feeling good and these kosher brownies ain't doing nothing for me. No, what did he do? He said, I need to go be with my Father during this time because of those things that he had asked before. His habit, his spiritual habit, his centered on God identity brought up a centered on God habit, which led him to come back and do those habits which continually reinforced the type of person that he was. So how do you change? If you want to change, what do? You got to change what? What you think of you. And here's what you do. You ready? You start with who before do. Everybody say who before do. Instead of focusing on what you want to do, you start with who you want to become. You don't get somewhere. Let me see. You don't get to a destination by wandering around. You get to a destination by saying, that's where I want to go. How do I get there? And so many of us are like, I want to do this. And we just wander around in life like that. And we're not getting there. And then we believe all the lies. We got to start with, who do I want to be in life? What type of person do I want to become? And then I will do the things that need to get me there. So who do you want to become? Who do you want to be? Ask yourself that question in your life, because what you think determines what you do. So we're not starting with the action. We're starting with the spiritual Christ-centered identity. So you can pick your own, and I hope you do. I'm going to kind of give you some of these things. We're going to go general and then specific. So who do you want to become? You may say, I want to become a mom or dad who's fully present and completely intentional. All right? How many think that would be a good person? All right? So you may say that. You may say, hey, I want to be a man of God who lays down my life to serve my family. That's a good idea. You may say, I want to be someone who is sober and a testimony to the power of Christ changing my life. I want to be the most dependable, caring, focused friend who reaches out, not just when in need or inquiring about a question. I just want to be there for people. Or you may say, I want to be someone who is positive, who encourages others, who others just enjoy being around. Then you have to think you're capable of being that person. Not, I need to be right all the time. Not to be the person that is the center of attention all the time. Not to make others feel guilty about when they do other things and don't pay attention to you. Not to be someone who's selfish and self-centered. Not to be jealous if someone's spending time with somebody else and not you. Not to be annoying with trivial stuff. Do you know how many people are annoying with trivial stuff in life? Anybody? If you don't know, you're that person, all right? Who do you want to become? So let's go specifically. You may say, I'm a person who doesn't skip a workout. That's the type of person I am. I'm a Christian who reads the Word of God every single day. That's the person I am. I'm a person who puts God first in my family, finances, work, and with everything in my life. I'm disciplined, but not under my own power, under Christ. I can do stronger than that. So how does this play out? Well, we said, I want to be a mom, a dad, or a son and daughter who wants to be fully present and completely intentional. So how does this play out? Every time you're with your kids, your spouse, your extended family, your phone rings. And every time it does, you don't look at it. What have you done? You've reinforced the identity of what you want to be. And your action reinforces that. I want to be fully present. I want to be totally committed. I want to be focused, and I want to be there. You might say, I'm a Christian who reads my Bible every day. And every day you wake up, you open up the Word of God, you put on the audio Bible and have some British person read it to you or whatever. And you do that every day. And every day you do that, it reinforces the identity of who you want to be and who you say you are, and it strengthens who you're becoming in Christ. You get it? I get it? So there's a fascinating and very practical book by an author named James Clear. It's called Atomic Habits. And I love this quote that he writes here. He says this in this quote, every action you take is a vote for the type of person you wish to become. No single instance will transform your beliefs, but as the votes build up, so does the evidence of your new identity. Isn't that amazing? Every action you take is a vote for the person that you want to become. And so as the votes build up, they tell you what type of person you are. Why do you do what you do? Because of who you think you are. So here's what's going to happen. You're going to start to seek God for a new identity, the one that he desires for you. And you remember last week, you had homework, and that was your spiritual why, remember? This week, Last week we had a spiritual why. This week we have a spiritual who. Who do you want to be? Who? What is your identity? And at the moment you start to believe that you can become who God wants you to do, Satan's going to be knocking on your door. The devil's going to be there. And he said, you can't change. You've tried that before and failed. Why do you keep trying to do that and fail? So you got to decide who are you going to believe. Because who you believe determines what you will do. And that's why this powerful verse at the end of Ephesians says this. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned, you've learned what? Here, everybody help me. The truth that comes from him. The truth that comes from him. Here's what you do. Watch this. What do? You throw off your old sinful nature and your former ways of life. That's not you anymore. Okay, that's not you anymore. You've been forgiven. You've been transformed. You've been changed. And it says, which is corrupted by lust and deception. What's that deception? You believe the lies. The reason why we are the way we are is because we believe the lies of Satan. And the lies by Satan, you know, I'm not saying every day Satan's standing there like, I'm going to tell Dale who he is. I'm not saying that. But guess what? Dale and me and you and everybody else has people in their life who are good representatives of Satan, right? There are people that tell you, you're what? You're a preacher? Yeah, right. I remember back. Yeah, I remember that too. And I can believe I'm that person that did that back then or even this week, but I am who he says I am. If you get caught up in believing what other people say, you're always never, does that make sense? You're never going to end up living the life that Christ has for you. If you believe what that voice in your head saying, which was brought about by people over the years telling you, which is brought about by the lies that Satan has, you're never going to become who God has for you. God has an identity for you. Believe him. You're chosen. You're not forsaken. You're a child of God. You're God's own. You're holy and pure. Yeah, I don't care what you did, but you're holy and pure because that's what he says. All right? And so that's what we got to continue to go off. And so it says, and let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Let the Spirit renew Amen. Your thoughts and attitudes. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, we learn this. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to stop believing the enemy and trusting God's word. And you, along with the Spirit of God, renew your thoughts by bringing about transformation. If you want to look at it, several years ago, I think about 2 or 3 years ago, I did a series called Mindfield, and we talked about the power of the mind. That when we believe something, when that comes up, we have what's called neural pathways. And I'll give you an example. If you have a sidewalk that goes in a nice right angle, okay, makes a nice little corner there, and yet there's grass across from it, many of us will do what? Walk across that path, right? We'll walk across the grass. If I'm the first person that walks across that grass, the grass is going to pop back up. But if I walk across that, and I walk across it, 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 it's going to create a pathway. We do the same things in our mind. When we believe something, and science has proved this, we create what's called neural pathways. And we continually go over them. So when something happens to you, if something that you go to seek to do in your life, you put yourself out there and you fail, you may have gone down that failure pathway so much that you immediately go, man, I'm a failure. And you take the shortcut of the path that you've been walking down because you've been leaving the lies for year after year after year. And so what you need to do is be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you do that? By believing Jesus is telling you the truth. But he's not only telling you the truth, he is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. And if you believe that he's going to get you to heaven, and heaven is through him, that he is the life, and if you believe he is the only way to the Father, then you have to believe he's the truth. Yes. And you are who he says you are. So, who are you? Who are you? Remember, it's not behavior modification, it's spiritual transformation. Who are you? Here's what the Word of God says you are. It says, if you have surrendered to Jesus and called on him, you are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone and the new is, and all things have been made new. You are God's workmanship. It's a poetic statement, created in Christ to do good works in which he prepared in advance for you to do. You are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. You're an ambassador of the highest God. You are the highest ranking diplomat on earth by God to declare his glory. You are not who the devil says you are. You are not what others say you are. You are not who you think you are. The word of God says you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, who gives you strength. You are a child of the living God. You have been forgiven by the shed blood of Jesus. You have been redeemed. You have been chosen. You have been called. You have been set apart. You are filled with the very spirit that raised Christ Jesus from dead. You are this and so much more. So start believing it. We get a little Pentecostal here today. This is good. The devil is a liar. But Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the truth, Jesus and his word, will set you free. Why do you feel the way you do? There's lots of secondary reasons, but there's one primary. Because you believe something about yourself that's a lie from the pit of hell. You believe and do what you think you are. So much more than that. Step into the truth, step out of the old nature, step into the new nature, and be who Christ created you to be. And so this week, as soon as something happens and you start going down that pathway, I'm this. Say, nope, I am who you say I am. I am who you say I am. But, and somebody's going to come up to you and say, well, did you really do that? You think you're a Christian? You're like, I am who he says I am. You freak people out. They say, you know what, you're a jerk. And say, I am who he says I am. They'll say, who? I just said you're a jerk. Not you, him. Right? Freak people out. Believe it. See if your life and your mind doesn't change. He is the truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. All right. You guys are ready. You can use an extra hour of sleep every week. I'm telling you. So let's stand up and let's just go to God. As we come to this part, also every week at this time, those of you who are used to being part of our family here, you know that we receive God's tithe and offerings. And I always say that's, you know, if you call that this your church, you know, we appreciate that. Just the amazing things that go on through this church. This is the most giving church I've ever been part of. And so we just ask God to put his blessing on those gifts. If you're visiting, we just want God to just speak to you and just love on you. And so we just thank God that he's going to put his Holy Spirit on the gifts. And just some awesome stuff. I got some videos from Pastor Oog, and it's so awesome seeing them in Haiti worship in their church building when there was a big field where Adele got peed on. True story. And we play with the kids just to see the transformation that you guys are making happen. To the point that now, you know, we've been sponsoring a girl that Miguel fell in love with down there years ago for school, and now she's attending school there. That's awesome, because there was nothing there. There's like four or five kids. Now there's a full school. That's you giving to the Lord, so thank you. Thank you for doing that. And so I'm just in awe of your giving, and I know they are. So God, we know you're going to bless that, but for everyone else here, you may have been told you are something. It may have shaped your whole entire life, a life of pain and hardship, a struggle. Hear the truth of God today. You're his child. He loves you. You're not what you do. Satan tells you, you do bad things, you're bad. No, you're a child of God. So today here, if you don't hear anything else, I say, just say, God, I just bow with me in prayer. God, you know, I know so many of us here today are struggling. We want to believe. We want to believe that we are who you say we are, yet in it all, we struggle because that little voice in our head says, yeah, but I know who I am. No, you know what you've done. But look at it this way. If what you've done didn't stop Jesus from coming and loving you and giving his life up for you, why do you care? He says, I still choose you. No, I'm not leaving you. I'm right here. I'm forgiving you and loving you. You're my child. You're holy and pure. You just haven't grown into it yet. You haven't realized it yet. You haven't trusted in it yet. So, Lord, for anyone in the sound of my voice, whether they've been believers for many years and been on this roller coaster ride of Christianity, struggling with identity, and just help them hear that same voice when you called them to you originally. That voice that said, I love you, I gave my life up for you, and I want you to just receive my gift of salvation, which is pretty much just saying, God, I can't do it on my own. I'm a mess, but I want to be holy and pure. I want to be your child. So I'm thank you for your life, and I'm giving you mine. And I can't wait to be a new creation. That voice that originally appeared to you then, and maybe today somebody is hearing that for the first time and saying, I'm all right, I've heard about Christianity, I've heard about all this, I'm tired. I'm tired of trying to live up to something that somebody wants me to be. I'm tired of fighting against something that somebody told me and trying to prove everybody else. I just want to be who you want me to be. So, Lord, hear us today as there's people up front and the back that'll pray with you. Most importantly, hear the voice of the Lord saying, Satan's a liar. Quit lying to my kids because I need my house full. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Believe it. Live it. So, Lord, have your way here today. We give you praise, and whatever it is, speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Great King of glory, seated on high in the heavens, oh, Jesus, you alone. You are the Lord God Almighty, strong in compassion and mercy, oh, Jesus, you alone. I've searched the world for a love that could fill my heart. Nothing compares to the wonder of who you are. Holy, all the earth singing, just cry, holy Jesus, you alone, Jesus, you alone. You set the stars in the heavens, you set the Jesus, you alone. You breathe your life in creation. You walked among your created. Oh, Jesus, you alone. I searched the world for a love that could fit. into the wonder of who you are. Holy, all the earth singing, holy, all the angels cry, holy, Jesus, you alone. Worthy, all creation sings, your blood for salvation. You broke the curse for our freedom. Oh, Jesus, you alone. You rose from death with the morning. You'll come again.
He's an amazing God. Have an awesome week. Remember, Haven 301 right in here afterwards. Love to have anybody come out and have a great week. Those of you who are heading out, be safe. God bless.